Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen, amen. Good morning, church. Good morning. Let's try it again. We got some snow bravers out there. Anybody a little disappointed over the weather forecast, right? There's a word we're going to learn today in Ecclesiastes, and it's hevel, and it's meaningless, right? That's what the weather forecast is. That's what I say this morning, right? And we're so glad you're here. If you are connected online this morning, we're grateful for you as well, and just encouraged to open God's word together. Thank you to our worship team and all the volunteers this morning that are in our kid men and serving in AV and making coffee and just making this morning special. So grateful just that we're able to gather this morning and worship our great God, open his word, and be encouraged as we do that. How many people are really hoping for some snow? Let me just see some hands out there. People really hoping for some snow. Some people out there. Now, nobody was hoping for ice, right? So we were kind of glad we got this alternative. You know, the things I think about, my daughter and I think some of her friends are actually watching at Gardner Webb right now. And there's a picture of what I think of when I think of snow. These are kind of the moments that we were all dreaming for. You'll see it on the screen right there. They were a little younger. That's probably the last time we had a good snow. That's what I'm thinking, right? It's been, maybe we've had some since, but not much. And, you know, I think about those moments, right? We get on the hill, we're sledding, we're building snowmen, we're just having these incredible times, and we're thinking about that, you know, as we're leaning in. But when I think about ice, I don't have those kind of fond memories. I don't have those kind of things. You know, the road can look wet, and some people are probably, you know, kind of at home. They're wondering, like, well, how are the roads on the way there? Was it, you know, this morning we were texting back and forth early, and we didn't want to put folks at risk. But as we got out, and it's like, you know, it's just wet, right? And we're gonna come worship King Jesus right now, and so that's kind of where we're at, and totally get that. You know, it's hard to know those things. I mean, we're looking at our roads, and we're talking, and I'm messaging people all over town, and I'm like, you know, hey, go outside. And they're like, well, it looks wet, but I don't know. And really, that's the kind of thing we see with ice, right? That's the thing we see with black ice. And, you know, my first experience with that, my dad was taking me to school, and he was in a little black Ford Ranger, and he was not a fast mover on the road. Like, I mean, I think he could drive fast, probably, maybe had those skills. But I never saw him do it much, right? It was that he had another gear in that thing, I believe. But it was so low that I don't think we ever actually like used it along the way. And so we're cruising up, and I remember us driving, and there was a school bus stopped in front of us, and he hit the brakes. And I remember when he hit the brakes, all of a sudden, like, we had no traction, we had no control, we had no anything, right? And he was a good driver, drove in Highlands all the time, so he's trying to combat this thing, but in reality, it's pretty hard to steer. It's pretty hard to navigate that thing. I remember us turning around in the road and kind of sliding by the school bus backwards. It was the coolest thing as a kid, you know. And I don't know if he like knew what he was doing and it worked out, or if like the Lord just helped us. I have no idea, but we were really grateful for that moment, right? But here's what I thought about. You know, I was going to be in Colossians this morning, and yesterday my heart just kept stirring as I was thinking about this reality that we've been made for more. And my heart just kept stirring to the book of Ecclesiastes. I believe maybe the greatest made for more book in all the scriptures, right? This thought that we would see there, right? There was no traction, no control. And the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon Reed would write that book. He would describe that kind of look as life under the sun. He would say, that's the experience that we have, right? Life under the sun. And we want to lean into some wisdom from Solomon. Later he would write that he would hope that they would honor the Creator from the days of our youth. So you young people, it's like the sooner you can get this, the sooner you can understand what you were made for, the sooner that you can do that, the better, right? And we have the same questions. People have the same questions throughout their life, right? They've always asked those questions. Why am I here? You know, Kelly's video that she made for us, like, check the box. Go to work. Check the box, right? Some of you are thinking, hey, that's Monday, right? Get up, pack my dinner, go to work, check the box. do my thing, eat some lunch, get off, get home, prepare a meal, go to bed. It's kind of like this crazy cycle. And then you're wondering like, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? And you're like, same thing, right? Same thing. We've asked those questions, right? What makes life matter? What is it that makes it important? And you can find all kinds of things people are chasing for. Some people would say pleasure would be the thing. Some people would say that success, maybe if you get the right job or if you have the right things, maybe these material things, if you just had this, and we've all probably felt that at some point, like if I just had this new thing, maybe it's stuff, maybe it's relationships. And some people say, you know what, I kind of create my own way. I do my own thing. But here's what every one of us probably has felt at some point on this journey. Here's what Solomon felt, what I believe when he is writing this toward the end of his journey. Maybe it's later in his life after he's experienced these things. And he's finding the same thing that all of us do, right? None of it will satisfy. And here's what I want you to hear as we start out today. Listen, none of this will satisfy. You are made for more. All of us in this room, listen to me, you are made for more. If you're online this morning, you are made for more than life under this sun. That we're going to look and we're going to see that we've been created for eternity, and we understand that we've been made for life in the sun. Everything that Solomon is going to bring forth, everything the Lord is going to use this passage to identify, is going to be redeemed in the gospel. And we're going to see, right, God's going to reveal to us the emptiness of chasing after the things of this world without him. The emptiness of life, right, under the sun apart from him. He's going to remind us that we're made for eternity. And then we're going to land in the gospel, and we're going to see that God redeems us, and he redeems everything in our lives for his glory. And so I want to invite you, we're going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, verses 1 to 3. And so if you're at home, I hope that you will take a moment and just open God's word, take your mobile app, whatever that is, and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 3. And then I want you to flip all the way to the end of the book, and we're going to read chapter 12, verse 13. And then all of us that are in the house, we're going to stand as always. Maybe you're at home and maybe you're in your jammies and you're under that blanket and it's feeling really good, but I want to invite you just to stand with us in these moments, just in honor of the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word. Beginning in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we read this: "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his work which he does under the sun?" Now turn to chapter 12, verse 13. It says, "The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person." And now all together, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you. God, we thank you for the privilege to gather as your people. God, whether it's, God, online and throughout homes all around our community, Lord, or whether it's in this moment, Lord, we pray, God, that your Holy Spirit, God, might do a work in us. Lord, we pray that you would take your word, God, and you would accomplish what you've sent it forth to do, Lord, that we would be reminded that all the things of this world, God, no matter what we pursue, no matter what we rest in, Lord, if it's apart from you, it will come up empty. It will never fully and finally satisfy us, Lord, that you've created us, God, for more. We've been made for more. Lord, help us to embrace that. God, help us to see and understand, God, our purpose in you. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would send us out on mission for the glory of your name. Lord, we think of those this morning in our congregation, Lord, those that are grieving. We think of Jamie and the loss of her son, Ryan, Lord. And we think of Chris and Vidal and others who have been ministering to them as they've been walking through this time of loss, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would bring comfort and peace and strength to them in the midst of these moments, Lord. God, we pray, Lord, for peace that, God, could not come from within our own self, Lord, but your peace, God, that it would guard their hearts and their minds in Christ. Lord, we pray for those that were not as fortunate as us in the midst of the the storm, God, and that are experiencing maybe power outages and difficulties and things around, Lord, we pray that you might meet their needs, Lord, and that you might use the body of Christ to do that, Lord, in a way that would bring glory to your name. God, we pray and ask you to bless our time, Lord, to bless the rest of our time together, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, Lord, and that we might leave changed because of your word and because of the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the word of God. And as we look at this text, the first thing we're going to see is that God reveals life's futility. We see that right away, right? We see that immediately. In verse 2, we would read, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Some of your translations may say meaningless, meaningless. Some may have other words that would describe this, but what we would understand is that Solomon had everything we could think of. I mean, when it comes to the things that this world would value, he had wisdom, he had wealth, he had so many blessings, he had so many things, he had power, he had opportunity, he had all of these things, and here he writes, this conclusion after all those things is simple. All is vanity. All is vanity. The word in Hebrew is havel. You'll see that on the screen. And it's this thought of breath. And I don't know how much you can see this, but I borrowed my wife's essential oil thingy. And I don't know what you call those. Somebody asked me if it was a snowmaker on the way in. But you know, out of the top of that, there's a little mist that's just kind of rising, a little steam, just a little vapor. And if you can see it, you might see it for just a moment. And then all of a sudden, it's gone, right? This is the kind of picture of what Solomon is describing here. This is the picture of some of these words. It's this thought of being meaningless, this thought of having no value or significance. It's that kind of picture. And he's saying, hey, I've had all these things. And at the end of it all, it's kind of a depressing book if you don't understand if you don't see it in a full piece, right? He's just saying it's meaningless. It has no great value. I read about a Harvard study. It was an 85-year study, and it tracked lives of these Harvard grads to Boston inner city poor, the homeless, the people that were there, all these kind of things. And in this study, it revealed that the most wealthy, that some of them that had attained everything, they had more money. But at the same time, it revealed that they had more isolation and more weariness and more depression and less satisfaction. And here's Solomon saying, listen, he's had 700 wives. He's got all these concubines. He's got all those things. He's got everything that people might would look at. He says, I denied myself nothing. That's what he says in chapter 2. He basically says, listen, I've not withheld myself anything. I've took it all in. I've taken it all. But in all that, in Ecclesiastes 2, I think it's verse 10, he says, I've found no delight. I've found no satisfaction. I've found nothing that would satisfy the longing in my heart. He said, it's a vapor. It's a breath. It's meaningless. You can see it. All these things the world says is going to bring you satisfaction. You can see it, but you can't hold it. You can't grasp it. You can't hold on to it. And here's what we know, right? Verse 9 of chapter 1, he says, that which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing, we hear this saying all the time, right? There is nothing new under the sun. If you keep your clothes long enough, and I do, they come back in style, right? Like I had some britches, right, from a long time ago that I would wear to work. And Grant like loves them now. There's some old Carhartt pants I had, and they're like in style, right? And it's this kind of reality. And I used to be able to fit in them too, and I can't now. And so it worked out great. I could just pass them down. But bell bottoms, things that we wear, hairstyles, it's fun to look at all those things because they cycle back around. It's interesting how all those things happen. And life's fast, right? We understand difficulties. We face hard times along the journey. And Solomon asks a question in verse 3. He says, what advantage is there? He says, listen, what advantage is there? What advantage does man have in all his work, in all these things he does under the sun? What advantage is there? And his conclusion is none. There is no advantage. There is nothing. Life under the sun, it promises fulfillment, but it comes up empty. I was thinking about these roads and we were thinking about what to do. And when this was stirring in my heart, I was wondering about whether this would be just an online only kind of thing. And I was thinking about the ice and, you know, the risk of being out on it and all those kind of things. And if the roads had been icy, they look okay until they're not, right? Like you're riding on them and it looks like it's not a big deal until you get on the road, until you move, until you're there. And I believe this is what Solomon is saying when he says meaningless and vain and havel. He's saying, listen, what he's learned is that these things that look solid, these things that look like they're going to bring life, we're thinking in our mind right as we pursue those. And maybe it's jobs, maybe it's sports, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's all these things. And we're thinking, if I get those, if I attain those, it's going to bring satisfaction. And then somehow in the midst of the pursuit of all that, you hit the ice and you find out, listen, it's not holding up. It's not working. It's not doing it. And if your meaning comes from success, if your meaning comes from pleasure, approval, achievement, any of those things, right, it will eventually slide out from under you. You can count on it. It will never fully and finally satisfy. It will never bring you what you are hoping apart from Jesus Christ. Like we see God revealing the futility of life under the sun. Point number two. As we read through Ecclesiastes, we're going to see that God reminds us we were made for more, right? We were made for eternity. Verse 11 of chapter 3 says this, says he has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. So there's this gift that we have. And it's in our wiring. It's in the way that God has made us. It's in his design. There's this gift that we have that something in us, right? We just understand that there is more, right? We understand that there's more to life than we see. We understand that there's purpose and there's significance that's beyond just the temporary things that we see. We understand that. And then there's this tension, right? Isaiah 55 would remind us that when we think about these things, right, that God's ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand everything about this journey. There's things that we wrestle with. There's things that happen in the midst of this life that we trust him. We understand that what he sees is different than what we see. And even when we can't see his heart, when we can't understand the plan, like when we can't see some of those things, listen, we can trust him. We trust in his heart. I saw just an illustration where a little kid was looking up at his grandmother's loom. She was weaving in the seat there, and the little kid was on the ground, and he was looking at the bottom side of what she was working on. And as he looked up at that, he saw it, and he just said, "Man, that looks ugly, Grandma. What are you doing?" And as she was looking, and from her perspective, right, there was a whole different view. From her perspective, there was something beautiful that was taking place, but from his vantage point, it wasn't looking so good. And in a moment, that little grandma said, "Hey, climb up here in my lap and let me show you." And when she was able to do that, this little boy was able to see that the mess that was from below, right, was beautiful from above, and that there was something that was happening there that from his perspective, he just could not see. And in this life, right, from this view, there's frustration and there's difficulty and there's hard times, and we all experience those things. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We understand that life happens and that we walk through difficult moments along the journey. But if you're in Christ, listen, I want you to understand God is doing something. Some of you may feel restless in your work. You may feel restless in the pursuit of the things that have been somehow told to you that would bring joy and that would bring satisfaction. And you've been restless in your school and restless in your sports and restless. There's something about it that's not bringing satisfaction. And listen, this restlessness that you feel, it's not accidental. It's not something that is accidental along this journey. Augustine would say something to the effect of this. I don't remember the exact quote, but he said that we will remain restless until we find rest in him. This restlessness that we feel, it's because God has designed you to want something more than this world can provide. It is the reality that we live in. Romans 8, verse 20 would say this, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him, because of God who subjected it in hope." And what we can see, like from our lives and from the truth that we experience, sin has left this world in a mess. The brokenness, the fall from this world, the curse that we experience because of the sin. Work is hard. Relationships can be difficult. Success can feel empty. Some of these things, even the greatest success by the measure of this world, will never satisfy. We see it in celebrities, and we see it in Solomon, and we see it true in our own lives. In Romans 8, verse 20, he says, "For the creation was subjected to futility." And if you were looking at a Greek translation of the word havel, it would translate into this. And so we're speaking of these same kind of things. This is a standard Greek translation for the Hebrew word that Solomon is using in chapter 1, verse 2. We are made for more than the futility of this world. And it leaves us in this moment. Now, Solomon doesn't just leave us hanging in the midst of this, but if we only had Ecclesiastes, it leaves us in this moment of how in the world do we experience this life that we've been made for? And the gospel allows us to experience it in Jesus Christ. If your focus is under the sun, it will always fall short. It will never measure up. But God redeems it. God redeems us, and he uses us for his glory. And he takes the mundane, and takes the things that may seem meaningless apart from Christ, and he gives them great purpose. You know, I'm reminded when you know the temperature's close, when you know things are kind of dicey out there, you can be careful, you can do all those things, you can drive slow. But man, you can't try hard enough to never, like if it was icy out there, if it was a mess this morning, right? We could all try hard, but if it was black ice everywhere, we can't avoid it. And trying harder, listen, it's not going to fix life under the sun. It is only in Christ. And we understand that God redeems us for his glory. We were made for more. We were made for more. After everything was tested, after he's tried everything, after he's taken in all these things, he realizes this truth. I think that's what he's saying in here. He says, we're made for more. Look at verse 13 of chapter 12. The conclusion. One of the last two verses of this book. He says, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. This is not talking about living afraid, but to live with reverence and trust, to live in a way, listen, that lifts our eyes above the S-U-N, that lifts our eyes above the things of this world, that recognizes that what we do here, that it's temporary. Listen, that even the hard things that we face, they are momentary and light compared to all that God has for us. That we've been created with eternity in our hearts. We understand that there is more. And how can sinful people, how can we live with this kind of perspective? How can we do what would cause us? How can we see from a different lens? And the reality is that we can't in our own work, but that we can in Christ. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, that all things have been created through him and for him." You were made by Christ. You were made for Christ. You've been created for his glory. You've been saved by Christ. And it is in the power of Christ that you can experience life abundant, life different than this world. Listen, Jesus suffered the curse of sin on the cross, and now through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, listen, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. And it is by that power that the futility of this life under the sun is no more. Verse 21 of Romans 8 says this, that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You know, when it snows at my house, when we have those big snows, and when we have a lot of weather that we have to deal with, the only way we can get up and down our road, even in four-wheel drive, is to put chains on our truck. And, you know, I was thinking about this weather, and as it was coming in, I don't know about you guys, but I way over-prepared like midweek I was working to get all these things ready. I wanted to make sure my chains were there. I want to make sure they're in my truck. I'm thinking like we're going to get somewhere between 0 and 36 inches of snow. And so, I mean, you want to get ready. And so I've got my chains ready. I'm looking in the basement. And I'm thinking, okay, these will fit Sherry's. These will fit mine. If we get that much snow, we don't get any sun on so much of that road. I'm thinking about that. And in the midst of all that, I was thinking about just this reality, right, that the chains on my truck don't change the road. They don't change how messy it is. They don't change how rough the road is. They don't change how steep it is. But when I put them on, the first time I got them and I put them on, it was a whole new world for us because we've been walking all the way from the bottom. First time I got them, man, it changed life on the road, right? We were able to get up there. We were able to drive up there. And driving down is even worse. We were able to drive down. We were able to do so many different things. Same ice, same snow, same road, but it was different. And what I want to tell you, if you're in Christ, everything you do has purpose. Everything you do in Christ, life is not always easy. The road is not always made smooth. We walk through difficulties. Jesus would say, in this world, you will have trouble. You will face tribulation, but you can be of good courage. I have overcome the world. This life in Christ is not always easy, but it is filled with purpose. It is filled with meaning. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, it's really a life verse for me. It was a verse that God just really impressed upon my heart when I was feeling a call to ministry, and just a verse that has been dear to me is Ephesians 2:10. And the scripture says this, that if you're in Christ, that you are his workmanship, his poema, his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we might walk in them, that we would walk in them. Listen, you have great purpose in your creator. Colossians 3:23 would say, whatever you do. Last week we were talking about all the things, like in all things, everything that we do. This week, just looking at this verse, right? Whatever you do, whatever your job is, whether you're a police officer or a school teacher, or whatever those things are, whatever you do, whether you're a student and you're going to school, whether you're a child and you're homeschooled, whatever you're, when I look around this room, there's all kinds of different things. Whether you're an athlete or a track star, or whatever those things are, listen, those things will never bring satisfaction in their own. But whatever you do, when you understand that you have purpose, when your job, when you understand that it's not, you're not working for just the boss that's here, right? The scripture says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. When you understand that, when you get a grip of that and you say, listen, what I'm doing for the glory of Christ. I hope that you'll take whatever your role is tomorrow, whatever your Monday looks like or your Tuesday or whatever those things are, and the things that somehow feel like it just drains the life out of you, I pray and say, God, let me see how I can bring you glory. God, help me to live in such a way that transitions this from being something that is meaningless to something that has great purpose because I understand that I am doing it for you. Your work matters. Your service matters. Can I tell you something else? Your suffering matters. Some of you are going through hard times. Maybe it's even in your work. Maybe you're facing difficult things and unfairness. But when we're in Christ and we live different, it matters, and there is purpose in the midst of all things. It changes how you live at home. It changes how you live at work. You know, under the sun, ever since the garden, the family's been under attack. The enemy has been trying to destroy. And under the sun, it can be pressure points and hard times and difficult things. But listen, when we are in the S-O-N, when we are in Christ and we begin to walk in those things, all of a sudden it becomes a place that we can bless. It becomes a place where we have great purpose and we understand the enemy may be attacking, but greater is he that lives in us than he that is in the world. It changes how we live. Our families change. Our work changes under the sun, right? Our work can become our identity or it can become our enemy. We can either hate it or it can become so all-consuming. It can become everything about it. But in Christ, your work work and your school and your life, the meaningless things that somehow may not seem important, they become worship when we live for the glory of Christ. And so this week, my hope is you would just look at your life and whatever is ordinary, whatever seems meaningless, whatever seems like there is no purpose in that, that you would intentionally do them as an act of worship. That you would pray and say, God, help me glorify you today in the 9 to 5. God, help me glorify you today as I submit to the authority of my mom as she teaches me and I live different because of it. God, as I go to school tomorrow, help me to be an example. Lord, help me to see that all these things, that this purpose that you've created me for is to bring you glory. We ask that question, like, what am I here for? It's been asked forever. And maybe the best way, right, that we could say it would be in one of the old confessions, right? It would be an answer in a catechism. It is, what is the chief end of man? What is this purpose? What is it that God has created us for? Why is it that we are here? And what we would be reminded of, it is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And you don't need to wait. Listen, do it in the moments. The vapor that's in front of me this week reminds me that our life is just for a moment. James 4:14 would say that our life is like a vapor, that it appears for a little while and then vanishes away every day. Somehow we're wishing those days away. We're going on Monday and we're saying, man, I sure wish it was Saturday. Man, I sure wish it was this day. Enjoy the moment. They are gifts that God has given us. And if you'll use them for His glory, you'll find great purpose. You know, Eddie Mason told me this week So we were having the funeral of his wife, and just following it, he grabbed hold of my hand, and I just kind of leaned in and listened close, and he said, enjoy what you have, son. Because he said, you never know. And that's the life that we live, a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away, but in Christ, we were made for more. And in Christ, these moments that are so fleeting, these moments, they don't last, but eternity is ahead. We're gonna come to the Lord's table here and take communion together. And if you came in today and you did not get the bread and juice as you came in, you didn't get the elements, I want to invite you to lift your hand for a second, and we'll make sure to get those for you. I appreciate you guys doing that. I meant to mention that earlier. But, you know, as we come to communion, we come with this reminder. You can just keep your hand up for just a second. We come to this reminder that life under the sun is fragile. We come to this reminder that it's short. But, you know, when we come to this table, every week as I come to this table, it reminds me and it helps me take my eyes from the things of this world to Christ. If you are in Christ, if you are a believer this morning, if you have repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ, we invite you to take this communion together. And as we do that, we remember that Jesus entered this broken world. He entered the futility of this world. That His body was broken, that His blood was poured out, that He bore the curse of sin in my place. And when we come to this table, we remember that. Because of the cross, the vapor, the meaningless, the futility of this world, it does not have the last word. The hard moments of loss that some of our church family is experiencing, it does not have the last word. Because of the resurrection, meaning is restored. Life has purpose. As you take the bread in your hands, and you know, the Bible calls us to examine our hearts as we come to this table. 1 Corinthians 11:28 would remind us of that. And so I want to invite you to do that in these moments. If there's sin in your life that you need to confess and repent of, to do that in these moments. This table is not for perfect people. It's for people who have been redeemed and saved by His grace. And as we come, we confess our sin, we confess our need. for his forgiveness, for his grace, for his mercy. We come with gratitude because that's been given to us. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, I'll pray for us and we'll take this communion together. Holy God, we're reminded so clearly today that we were made for more than life under the sun, Lord. We were made for more, God, than the temporal things of this life. Lord, it's a gift and we thank you for it. God, I thank you for my family. I thank you for this church. I thank you for, God, the blessing of doing life together, Lord. It is a treasure. Lord, I'm so grateful that all the things that we'll experience in this life, that they, God, they're just the beginning. Lord, that we have eternity to look forward to. And Lord, it's all because of what Christ has done for us. So as we take this bread and juice, God, remind us of the gospel. Lord, we confess our sin. Lord, we confess our shortcomings this week. And Lord, the times that we've chased after the things of this world more than you. And Lord, we kind of come in this moment just to align, God, just to be reminded of, God, what we're made for. And Lord, we thank you for your grace to us week after week, day after day. Lord, for the sustaining work of your Spirit in our lives. We pray, God, you bless this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. As you take the bread, scriptures say that the Lord Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, that he took bread, and when he had broke it, that he took it, when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat. As you peel back the cup, in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we live expectant for that day that he will return. And so we're going to worship him as we close today. You know, as we think about this text today, some of us feel the tension, right? Some of us, even as believers, maybe we recognize we've been trying to find meaning in things that won't last. Listen, we've been designed to find satisfaction in our Creator. And in Christ, we can. And for every young person in this room, if you're a child, I just want to read you a verse from Ecclesiastes. If you're a student in this room, in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, he says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth." Can I just encourage you, don't wait to live for what matters. The potential and opportunity that you have in these moments, it's great. And God can use you in incredible ways for his glory. Let's worship him in these moments. If you need to pray, we invite you to come. If you, and maybe this morning you want to trust Jesus as Savior, you can come. You can do that. We love you. Let's worship God together.